Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
Welcome to the Good News Show on this beautiful February 10th. Yes, it is. Monday, February 10th. Glad you're with us. And boy, do we have a packed show today. Second half of the show, Frank Gonzalez and his team are going to be here for the monthly pro-life CPLC segment of the program. And then in about 10 minutes, Kelly Wahlquist is joining us. She is going to be coming to North Texas for a women's retreat at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish in Plano, which is going to be on Saturday, February 22nd, and she is with the Women in the New Evangelization, W-I-N-E, Wine, Women in the New Evangelization. Before that, I had an interview this morning. I had a visitor at the studio, Dale Ahlquist. How interesting, Wahlquist and Ahlquist.
I saw that, and I was wondering,
what are the chances?
When is that?
Yeah, Ahlquist and Wahlquist. So Dale Ahlquist was in studio this morning. I recorded a 10-minute interview. He's going to be at UD tonight for a presentation. Before that, we've got about 45 seconds to talk about the whole weekend. So if you could summarize your visit to St. Philip the Apostle Parish in Flower Mound, Cicero, in about 15 seconds, how would you describe it?
Awesome. Awesome and awesome. That's too much to think about in 15 seconds. So it was an awesome visit, as always. We always do really well there. And despite the cold weather, people were really, really generous. And so we're grateful for
and
that.
And there I was inside at St. Michael in Bedford.
We were blowing away in the wind outside.
Thank Father McDaniel, of course, pastor of St. Philip. He's so generous to let us come in. Father VJ at St. Michael's and Father Sam Mall, the pastor of St. Maria Gretti, who was at St. Michael's over the weekend for a couple of masses. So I got to see him, and I talked to Father John Mark, who is a TOR Franciscan priest from Colleyville, who was at St. Michael's. But it was a great weekend, and let me just say one more thing. Cicero and I are going to come back on at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and we're going to kind of be breaking in and out during Catholic Answers Live, and we've got really good incentives for you to buy tickets during the 5 o'clock hour this afternoon, including two tickets to the Catholic Foundation event on the 22nd, with those tickets are $350 each. So tune in this evening at 5 o'clock, and we have, we're also going to be able to add a ticket to every 5 you buy for the first 10 people. So it's going to be pretty fun. But anyways, let's go right to the interview with Dale Ahlquist and then Kelly Wahlquist and then the CPLC segment after that. So here's my interview with Dale from this morning.
Well, we were visited in studio this morning. Not really a surprise, but I'm just honored that Dale Ahlquist is here in studio with us. And so we decided to pre-record a 10-minute interview because he is in town and he has an event tonight at the University of Dallas. I'll give you the details. It is called The Laughing Prophet. That's the name of his talk. And it is tonight, February 10th, 7 p.m. at the SB Hall Multipurpose Room. That's on Gorman Drive in Irving. If you're familiar with University of Dallas, you'll know where SB Hall is. So, Dale Ahlquist, great to see you. Thanks for coming by.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, so You're actually tonight giving a talk, The Laughing Prophet. That's a great name. Did you come up with that, or is that the name of a book, or what?
I wish I had come up with it, but one of Chesterton's friends and contemporaries wrote a book about him, and that was the title of the book, The Laughing Prophet.
Yeah. You are, you know, I would say, and I think most people would agree, is the foremost expert on G.K. Chesterton. A lot of people love him, but you've basically dedicated your life. You've started an academy with his name. And I know you've probably been asked this many times, but go back to the beginning. When did he hit your radar screen, and how did you fall in love with him?
Well, it certainly has been a case of following my passion, and many good things have happened from just reading more and more Chesterton. And it was certainly by accident that I became the expert. It's something I did not intend to do, but I have given just about everything to it, and it could not have been a better investment of my time and effort. I'm going to tell the story tonight at the lecture of how I started reading Chesterton, because it's a good story, But I don't know why I should tell your listeners. They should come to the lecture tonight.
So that's a tease.
There you go.
Well, let me look. So was it instantaneous? Like, can you at least say what book you picked up, or was it a book or a talk, or what was the first point? Don't give all the details.
Yes. Someone had planted the seed that I should read Chesterton because I was a big C.S. Lewis fan, and Chesterton is definitely the force behind C.S. Lewis. He was the inspiration for Lewis's own conversion to Christianity. Mm-hmm. And so being a big C.S. Lewis fan, I naturally wanted to read Chesterton. And when I read Chesterton, let's just put it this way, I didn't really go back to C.S. Lewis after that.
Oh, is that right? Yes. Right. Now, I know that C.S. Lewis and Tolkien were contemporaries, and they were, you know, friends and, you know, read each other's works. I'm trying to think historically, did Chesterton overlap? Did he know these guys, or was he way before them?
So their lives overlapped. Chesterton's about 20, 25 years older than those other two. So they did not travel in the same circles, nor were they of the same generation. So Lewis and Tolkien were very familiar with Chesterton. Chesterton never met them or even knew who they were.
Okay. What about, would Tolkien say he was influenced also by Chesterton?
Tolkien would say that. In fact, he wrote an essay on the whole genre of fantasy fiction, and basically takes all his ideas from G.K. Chesterton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you think... I have a niece who teaches English at a school in New Jersey, and I keep saying, have you ever assigned Chesterton? And I guess the question is, how popular is he in the broader culture? Does the average English professor at a university know about Chesterton and how, beyond Catholic circles?
You know, it's changing, but Chesterton went through a real dark period of, no one was reading Chesterton, and that was for a period of 30, 40 years. No, basically was not being taught anywhere and only read as a secret delight. No one would admit that they were reading him, who was reading him. But that has been changing in the last 20 plus years. And there are more and more courses now introducing Chesterton books at the college level, not only in Catholic schools, but in other schools too. So his popularity is definitely on the increase. And that has not been hurt by the very popular BBC Father Brown series based on Chesterton's very famous detective, the Father Brown character.
Interesting. My wife and I sat down with our son just about a week ago and watched one of those episodes for the first time, and it was very interesting. It's old fashioned, and they're done in a very old style, but it's very very unique.
You know, and the only connection is the Father Brown character. They're not based on any of the Chesterton actual works, but they do maintain this character of the priest, who is the guy who notices what no one else notices. Mm-hmm. And that was the genius of the character, that he was the underdog detective. He broke the mold as far as everything was Sherlock Holmes, until Chesterton gave us Father Brown, who looks like he's going to be outmatched. What could this priest possibly know? And he just quietly, meekly points out what everybody else missed.
And so tonight, I know you don't want to give it all away, but you're going to be talking a little bit, as you mentioned, about how you first were introduced to G.K. Chesterton and how that, you know, love affair, so to speak, began, that you ended up devoting your entire, you know, career really to it. But what else? What else can you tease about tonight?
Sure. Well, the title Laughing Prophet, Chesterton is uncanny in the way he predicted what would happen after his own lifetime. We read Chesterton now, you go, how could he have known this 100 years ago? How could he be describing our world right now so accurately when none of this had happened yet? And so we're going to talk about Chesterton's prophecies. But the thing about prophets is that they have the reputation of being doom and gloom and dark, and Chesterton is anything but a pessimist and anything but a prophet of doom. Even though he tells us that we're heading in the wrong direction, which is what prophets do, Chesterton gives us hope. And that's the other thing prophets do. And we call him the laughing prophet, because generally this is a joyful character, one of the great things he brings us is joy.
Mm-hmm. We often talk about, like we've already talked about in this interview, who he influenced, you know, the Tolkiens, the C.S. Lewises, and who were his influences, both as a Protestant and as a Catholic, and I'm sure Aquinas must be in there, but how would you answer that? Who influenced him?
So initially, probably the greatest influence in his thinking, in his writing, in his imagination, Charles Dickens.
Is that right?
Yes, he was a huge Charles Dickens fan, knew the Dickens novels very well, wrote a book on Charles Dickens that created a revival in England in Charles Dickens' writings, because Dickens was starting to fade from the public eye. And he wrote introductions to all of Dickens' novels. And, you know, most people are familiar with, of course, The Christmas Carol, which is this absolute timeless, ageless story. Dickens has a way of transcending time as well. So Shakespeare, literary figures, those are the kinds of people that influenced Chesterton in the early going. After his conversion, first to Christianity and then to Catholicism, he started reading more Catholic writers. But he said St. Francis was with him from the very beginning. That was his saint. It was St. Francis of Assisi.
Okay. I teach the Aquinas and the Summa, and I'm asked often at talks, recommend one book if I want to get started. I always say The Dumb Ox by G.K. Chesterton. If the people want to learn about Aquinas, would you agree that that's, because that's largely believed to be like one of the best books ever about Aquinas.
Yeah, it has been many Thomistic experts have recommended that same book, saying this is the book. And of course, it's
tiny.
It's so small. He gets the big dumb ox into this very small volume. And Evelyn Waugh said Chesterton didn't read the Summa Theologica. He just ran his fingers over the bindings and just absorbed everything that was in it.
That's interesting. Dale Ahlquist is my guest, and we're going to wrap this up. I have a longer interview I'm going to do with him that will run this Saturday. But just to let you know, tonight, Monday, February 10th, at SB Hall Multipurpose Room on the University of Dallas campus, beginning at 7 o'clock, his talk will be called The Laughing Prophet. And he's also giving a talk to the students tomorrow, but I'm guessing that may not be open to the public. I'm not sure. So I don't want to direct people. Anything else about your time here in North Texas this week,
Dale? Well, the University of Dallas has definitely given me a full schedule. So I'll be speaking some classes and with meeting with students and everything. And one of the things, you know, I'm involved with Chesterton Academy. There's a great interest in college students becoming teachers at Chesterton Academies, and as these academies grow across the country, there's over 60 of these schools now.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that in the longer form interview. Great. So anyways, tonight, 7 o'clock UD at the SB Hall Multipurpose Room, Dale Ahlquist will be speaking. So we'll go ahead and close this one out, and I'm going to record a longer interview with Dale in here in a moment. All right. What a pleasure it was to have a chance to talk to Dale Ahlquist. And we go from Ahlquist to Walquist. And interestingly, they're both from Minnesota, I believe. Kelly Walquist joining me now. She is on the phone with us. And I want to thank Susan McKeefer, because she is with the annual women's retreat that's put on, well, annually. And it's a collaborative effort of five different parishes in Collin County: St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Plano, Our Lady of Angels in Allen, St. Joseph in Richardson, St. Jude in Allen, and St. Mark the Evangelist Parish in Plano. The retreat is going to be Saturday, February 22nd. It's going to be at St. Elizabeth in Plano. Check-in is at 8:15. There's Mass at 8:30 if you'd like to go to that. Light breakfast, and it starts officially at 9:30 and goes till 3:30. And I'll give you all the information about registering. The cost is $50, and Kelly Walquist joins us. She's the speaker. She's an aspiring Catholic speaker and author. Her gift of weaving personal stories in scripture together with practical advice helps her audiences become witnesses of their faith and be part of the new evangelization. Kelly is the founder of Wine, Women, and the New Evangelization, and also the director of the Archbishop Flynn Catechetical Institute. Kelly Walquist, how are you?
I am so good. It's so great to be following Dale. We actually go to the same church, and although he's only a few years older than me, I always tease him because he, you know, people say, "Oh, I, you know, I met your husband. Are you married to Dale?" And like, you know, Alquist, and I always say, "No, he's my dad." No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sure he loves
that. He's only about 5 years old.
He came in studio this morning because he's speaking in North Texas tonight, and it wasn't until I started the program that I realized I was going from Alquist to Walquist, and then I realized, wow, you're both from Minnesota. I had no idea you were at the same parish, but wow, what an amazing coincidence. And you know, there's a lot going on in Minnesota, a lot big homeschooling state, and a lot of big things happening in the Catholic world in that state. What is that all about?
Do you know what? I would say it's probably due to the fact that we have more perpetual adoration chapels than any location I know of. Mm. I mean, I can throw a stone and go to 7 different churches for adoration. And I know we've been, you know, a lot of prayers for vocation, but there, and we've got great leadership here. Archbishop Hebda is a wonderful leader. And yeah, it is really, it's very strong. We've got great things happening at the St. Paul Seminary. You know, I'm the director of the Catechetical Institute, which is at the St. Paul Seminary. And we've had thousands of people go through the Institute and learn the beauty of the faith by learning the catechism as a story from blessing to blessing. Over the past 18 years, we've had 18 graduating classes. So yeah, there's a lot going on. The Holy Fire is on, or the Holy Spirit is on fire here.
Yeah, that's awesome. Take us back to wine. I love the acronym because who doesn't love a good glass of wine? It's just, you know, I like it just to settle down in the evening, have a glass of wine, be around friends. But you've turned it into an acronym of Women in the New Evangelization. And I remember for many, many years hearing you on Teresa Tomeo's show talking about wine. But how and when did that all begin?
Oh, it's such a good question. It began actually a little over 10 years ago. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary on December 12th of all days. We are a little nonprofit, and we put all our paperwork in February, you know, 11 years ago to become a nonprofit. And by the grace of God, we were officially a nonprofit on December 12th, 2014. So Our Lady of Guadalupe, who is the patron saint of the new evangelization. So you can't make that stuff up, right? Women in the new evangelization.
Yeah. And, you know, being on the Guadalupe Radio Network is a nice help as well. Of course, we love her very much. And we're not too far from her. You know, we're just right in Mexico, just south of us. But so Kelly Walquist joining me again. She's going to be the speaker, annual women's retreat. The theme is Walk in Her Sandals, Saturday, February 22nd. Experience Christ's passion through the eyes of women. And is that a theme and a title you came up with, or they did, or it's an intriguing title, Walk in Her Sandals? What is that all about?
It actually follows along one of the books from Wine, Women in the New Evangelization, which we were talking about as the National Catholic Women's Ministry. And though you're right, sometimes we do like a glass of wine. It isn't about the wine we drink. And I actually wish I could take credit for the name. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute. But it really stems forth from sacred scripture. So it's John 2:5. It's the wedding of Cana, and it's Mary's final words to us. And to every, you know, and when she's speaking in the gospel, where she says, "Do whatever he tells you." So wine is really about doing the will of God, but we just contend that as women, we are radically relational. And it's so much easier to do God's will when you have your sisters in Christ supporting you, nurturing you, praying for you, holding you up when you're falling down. And one of the most beautiful charisms of wine is rejoicing in the gift of others. So rejoicing for your sister in Christ when she's working in her beautiful God-given gifts. And so that's what wine is. From that, we have a lot of different events we do. We do conferences all around the country. We also do retreats, which is what I'll be doing at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And it's a Walk in Her Sandals retreat, which follows off of our book, which is called Walk in Her Sandals, Experiencing Christ's Passion Through the Eyes of Women. So it's really a phenomenal retreat to enter into, and a book and book study to enter into at Lent. I mean, you can do it anytime. But you're really walking with Jesus through his passion, death, resurrection, and the coming of the Spirit in the way in which you were created to as a woman. So when we're speaking to the women, it's like, this is, you're going to enter into everything Jesus is going through, the way God created you to enter into that, through these gifts of the feminine genius, through these gifts of receptivity and sensitivity and generosity, and through these maternal gifts we are all given. Because it doesn't matter if we've given birth or not physically. Mm-hmm. We are all called to be spiritual mothers.
Yeah.
So we walk with Jesus through all of that.
Yeah. When you talk about the passion through the eyes of women, is this actual women in scripture? Like I'm thinking of Veronica and of course the Blessed Mother and the ones who encountered him. Is that what you're going to do is from a scriptural perspective of the women that actually encountered it?
Well, now you get the good Catholic answer. It's kind of the both and.
Okay.
It's the both
yeah.
and. Yes. And a little more too. So the authors of this book, I will tell the women as they're on the retreat, just how this book came to me on a Good Friday one day. And it really was a Holy Spirit moment. Within 4 minutes, I had it downloaded and wasn't sure what it was, thought it was a book and or a retreat. It was something that would engage the women. And it's become both in the last 7 years. But the authors are so good. So Palm Sunday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Resurrection, and Pentecost. And at the beginning of each of those chapters, Sarah Christmeyer, who writes for The Great Adventure, gives us the aha moments of Scripture. Now, to answer your question, the next part of each chapter, Stephanie Lansom, who's from Minnesota, Sarah's from Philadelphia, so she's probably celebrating a big Super Bowl win today. But Stephanie Lansom, she writes biblical fiction. So she puts you in the story. And so you're a woman in the story and you're watching this whole scenario play out around you. And although in this book, you're not Mary, through our gaze upon Jesus, our Advent one, you do get to see it from the eyes of Mary. But in this book, you're watching Mary. And yes, and you see Veronica. That's although she's not in scripture, right? She's of tradition, but we do see things through the eyes of Veronica and witness her walking in virtue, the virtue, actually walking in all the gifts of the feminine genius, but then walking in this virtue of courage. And so, we do enter into both of them. And then each part of the chapter has a reflection by women who are like, well, how do we live this today? To some 2,000 plus years later, how do we as women enter into Jesus's passion, death, resurrection, and the coming of the Spirit, the way in which we were created to? And since you just mentioned Teresa Tommy, I'll have to tell you, when this idea came to my head, I called Teresa up and I said, T, you come from an Italian family. I know you love to eat and drink, and you're so generous. I said, could you write a reflection on the Last Supper and on the gift of generosity? And she wrote what was called My Holy Cannoli Moment. And it's phenomenal. It's just really, it's so good. So we have all these really relational aspects, which we're going to bring into this retreat. Then how do we enter into Lent? So we walk through Lent like never before.
Have you done a similar retreat elsewhere? Have you already seen the fruit and how the women respond to something like this? And if so, well, what has been the response? What are you hoping they'll get out of it personally?
Well, I have to tell you, this is fresh right now. So that's a really good question. Alyssa Bormes and I just gave this retreat in South Dakota this weekend, in Aberdeen, South Dakota.
Yeah.
And it was astonishing. And we've seen women who have come back to the church. One lady came up to us and told us that she had come last year. We had done the Gaze Upon Jesus retreat. Now she was doing the walk in her sandals. And being around these women of wine, who have a charism of unity and a charism of joy, and she was so drawn in, and she said, I haven't been back to church in 45 years. She went back to church, back to confession. That was a year ago. Told us this year that she's been going for a year. So we really see that women, and this is part of why, whenever they're at something like this, when they're at a women in the new evangelization, a wine event, we really see characteristics that come out. Number one is a sisterhood. So it really doesn't matter where you are on your spiritual journey. It doesn't matter if you're 18 or 98. We hear from all the women. We always hear, I feel like I belong. And it's because you do. It's because you do belong in this relationship with other women so we can go deeper in our relationship with the Lord. And we also, another characteristic of wine is everything has scripture and prayer infused in it. Everything. Mm-hmm. Lectio Divina and Visio Divina are all over everything we do, every retreat, every conference, every book club at CatholicFigure.com. And so we've got scripture and prayer. Third characteristic is the aha moments of the faith. And so at everything we do, we want people to discover the beauty of why the church does what she does. Because I think, when you discover something, you are more apt to run and share it. I mean, aren't you, you know, you find a good Italian restaurant, you tell 100 people, you know, or a good Mexican restaurant. How's that?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's so many people.
Yeah, great. Kelly Walquist is my guest, Catholic evangelist, author, speaker, founder of Wine, the Women, and the New Evangelization, also director of the Archbishop Flynn Catechetical Institute, as we talked about. She also has a book, Created to Relate, God's Design for Peace and Joy. Her website, kellywalquist.com. Who would have thought? kellywalquist.com is her, and she also has catholicvineyard.com as well. You touched on the, and she's going to be the speaker. It's February 28th. It's a, well, basically an all day, 9:30 to 3:30 retreat, the annual women's retreat sponsored by five different parishes in mostly in Collin County, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Plano, Our Lady of Angels Allen, St. Joseph Richardson, St. Jude Allen, and St. Mark the Evangelist Parish in Plano. I do not think you have to be a member of those parishes to go, but that's the five that are all coming together, and they do this annually. And if you want to get tickets, they're $50. They will not sell tickets at the door, so you got to give them in advance. You can email, I presume this is going to go to Susan McKeefer, 5womensretreat@gmail.com. The number 5womensretreat@gmail.com. I'll mention that one more time at the end. And so, okay, so Kelly, I wanted to throw all that in there. I love the quote you have for Pope Francis on your website. Evangelization will only take place as a result of contagious joy. And then he goes on a little bit more. And you mentioned that about just the, we're all called to joy, aren't we? And why did you think that was important to put that on your website?
Well, you know, that's what I started with before Pope Francis was Pope. That's what my tagline was, living the joy of the new evangelization. And that's what I was preaching on, joy. And, I love that we're following Dale Alquist, because, Chesterton says that joy is the gigantic secret of Christianity. And he's so right. I mean, there's such a joy when you have given your life to the Lord. But I would be talking on joy right after Pope Francis became the Pope. I would be giving like a retreat on joy on Saturday, and he would do his address on Wednesday, and people would email him and me and say, "Hey, the Pope just said what you said about joy." I thought, "Hey, he's stealing my stuff."
Well, wow, what an honor! Yeah, the Pope. You've inspired the Holy Father. That is awesome. Is there a particular age that you're targeting here? I'm guessing adult women. Should women bring their teenage daughters or younger, or who should come to this?
Oh, absolutely. No, any age. I mean that teenage daughters are great. We just, as you know, I think you said that the retreat was on the 28th of February.
22nd.
It's actually the 22nd. Yeah. Yeah. Cause when you said the 28th, I thought, well, I'm going to have to buy locates because we have a conference in Minnesota for joyfully laboring in the vineyard for 10 years. And one thing I noticed at our conferences is that there are so many young women with babies. And I love that. I mean, when you spoke about the joy and how that came into it, I really look at the visitation as something that really inspires Wine, because what we see at the visitation is we see extreme joy. And the beauty of the visitation, that is the beauty of Wine, Women, and the New Evangelization, is that we see the rejoicing and gift of other. Elizabeth is rejoicing in the gift given to Mary. You know, she's not thinking, "Oh, I can't believe this. You know, come on, Lord. I've been so good and so righteous, and this little whippersnapper gets to carry the Christ child. That's not fair." You know, she doesn't do that. She rejoices in the beautiful gift in the gift of her cousin Elizabeth, or of Mary. And so I really see that as exactly what Wine is about. So at any age, I think the teenagers, absolutely, absolutely, up to, like I said, 98. 108. If you're 108, you get in free.
Yeah, don't exclude those 109-year-olds, okay? We know they're out there, and we don't want that. We want them to feel welcome, all right? Kelly Walquist, just have a couple minutes remaining, Catholic evangelist, author, and speaker. And again, it's February 22nd, annual women's retreat, Walk in Her Sandals, Saturday, February 22nd. Again, if you want to buy the tickets, they're $50. The number 5womensretreat@gmail.com. That's the information I have. Obviously, that's an email, so you would email them and let them know you're interested. And I think they're capping it at about 300 women. So you want to get your tickets. I think there are still some tickets available. I'm not 100% sure, but I think there are. And Kelly, as we close out, thank you for your time. And are there any other resources or anything you want to direct women to from your two websites? Or what will they find if they go to kellywalquist.com or catholicvineyard.com?
Oh, thank you. I would go to catholicvineyard.com, and you're going to find a community of women all around the country. We have West Texas wine in Midland, Texas. We've got military wine. They're called Wine at Ease. We've got our Cajun wine in Baton Rouge, and you're just going to find a really good community of women. Also, we've got book clubs and Bible, which are Bible studies. Everything is already done for you, because as women, we don't have time to reinvent the wheel. So if you want to do a Lenten book club, you could do Walk in Our Sandals. It comes with a study guide and journal and everything you could think of on our website that will allow you to do it with your friends in your house or in your parish with 150 of your closest friends. And, yeah, so we've got a lot on there. And also pilgrimages, Wine and Shrine. Teresa Tomeo and I lead a pilgrimage through Italy. So we'll be going this October 1st through 9th, and it's fabulous. Wow. All women.
Oh, come on. No, I think it's good. I think it's good for men to get together on their own and women to get together. But then, of course, we all want to mix and mingle as well. Kelly, thanks so much. Appreciate talking to you. You've got a lot of enthusiasm, excitement, and thank you for all you're doing to bless women, bless the church. And again, that website, catholicvineyard.com, you can find out about the pilgrimages and I especially want you, if you're a woman, to consider going to St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish in Plano, Saturday, February 22nd, annual women's retreat, one-day retreat, experience Christ's passion through the eyes of women being led by Kelly Walquist. Kelly, thank you, and very nice to speak with you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Have a great day. God bless.
You too. Thanks so much. All right, from Walquist to Walquist to Gonzalez. Okay, Frank Gonzalez. So yeah, that kind of flows, doesn't it? Yeah. So Frank and his team are going to be coming on, including Susan Platt, and having their CPLC segment of the Good News Show. Of course, the 32nd Annual Bishop's Pro-Life Dinner is coming up April 5th with David B. Wright as the speaker. And there's always a lot going on. In fact, Frank is going to be joined in studio by Maria Machelski and her daughter, Sarah Machelski. I think they're talking about the GEMS program. I think that's the topic. But you'll find out. Just hang with us. We're going to have a 3-minute break, and we'll come back for the rest of the Good News Show right after this.
Begin the 2025 Lenten season with the Jesuits of Montserrat Jesuit Retreat House at an Ash Wednesday Reflection. The Ash Wednesday morning of prayer and reflection will be held on Wednesday, March 5th from 8 a.m. to noon at the Montserrat Jesuit Retreat House in Lake Dallas. The morning includes time for silent prayer, reflection, an opportunity for confession, and receiving ashes during the Ash Wednesday Mass. For more information or to register, visit montserratretreat.org.
This is Tony Becerra. My wife Chris and I own Babich & Associates. We are the oldest placement and recruitment firm in the state of Texas and proud sponsors of the Guadalupe Radio Network. We are also members of St. Thomas Aquinas in Dallas. Babich & Associates offers candidates insights into the current job market and provides professional candidates we have interviewed on a face-to-face basis to our employers. Our number to call is 214-823-9999, or you can find us on the web at Babich, BABICH.com.
Come find joy in a broken world by attending the 14th Annual North Texas Catholic Men's Conference hosted by the Catholic Brothers for Christ. We'll gather on Saturday, March 1st from 8 a.m. to 3:30 at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church in Keller. This will be a day of faith and fellowship and features three guest speakers in Chris Stefanik, Father Leo Paddlinghug, and Kevin Matthews. The cost is $55 for men, $10 for students, and free to clergy and seminarians. Visit CatholicBrothersForChrist.com for details, sponsorship opportunities, and to register.
Hi, my name is Tracy Santangelo. I'm a certified nurse midwife, the owner of Birth Points Women's Health and Birth Center in Las Colinas, and a new sponsor here on the GRN. At Birth Point, we provide midwifery services and educational classes for women and families. To learn more about our midwifery services and our team, our website is birthpoint.com, that's birthpoint with an E, or we could be reached by phone at 972-215-6934, Birth Point, delivering your legacy naturally.
Would you like to keep up to date on all the exciting news, events, and information related to KATH 910 AM and the Guadalupe Radio Network? Like our quarterly share-a-thons, opportunities to volunteer, and special events like the Car Raffle, Spirit World Live, and the Summer Speaker Series events next year? Join our email list and we can send you occasional updates so you can stay informed. To begin getting emails from us, just email kath@grnonline.com and ask to be added to the list.
Families from 30 different zip codes from throughout the Dallas area provide their children the Catholic classical education uniquely offered at Mount St. Michael Catholic School. A classical education respects the natural development of the child, grounds students in the tools of learning so as to delve more deeply into the content and expands the child's understanding of what is authentically good, true, and beautiful. To learn more, visit our website, msmcatholic.org. Mount St. Michael Catholic School is a sponsor of the GRN.
We are back. This is the Good News Show, second half now, and it is the second Monday of the month, and that means it's the CPLC segment of the Good News Show. Frank Gonzalez is Director of Marketing and Communication, and he has two in-studio guests and also Susan Platt on the phone. So I'm going to hand it on over to Frank Gonzalez. How are you doing, Frank?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, good. It was nice being out at your office doing the live remote a couple of weeks ago.
We loved having you, and I was talking with Maria Michelski, who's one of our guests today, about the fact that, you know, the having you guys there is really cool because it gives us an opportunity to show off the new offices. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, our goal at CPLC is to make that office a working place, not just for the employees and the people that work there in our ministries, but we want to invite other people to come out and see the place and utilize it as a meeting facility.
So, yeah, it's very nice.
Some
very
really,
nice.
Really good things happening.
I remember that day, Cicel and I were in a mad rush to get there. We also had to leave like almost instantly because I had a meeting back here. So I didn't really get to walk around. But I'd love to come by and get the official tour sometime.
That's right. We'll love to have you there. So
okay.
Susan Platt is on our line. She's our Director of Community Outreach. Susan, would you mind starting us with a prayer and then go right into the update for what's happening in Washington or Austin and all those good places?
I would love to. Today we have the Jubilee Prayer of Hope, so let's pray together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Father in heaven, may the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, when with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us, pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
Amen.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, protectress of the unborn, pray for us. St. Joseph, her most chaste spouse and terror of demons, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, that's a wonderful start to our Monday. We've had lots of pro-life actions that have been taking place in the first few weeks of the new administration. And I wanted to start off with a really big one, the Mexico City policy. The Mexico City policy has been reinstated. It's a ban on government funding of foreign organizations that provide and promote abortion. Now, it was first established by Ronald Reagan. The policy makes international pro-abortion groups ineligible for U.S. funding unless they stop promoting or committing abortions. It's not signed into law, but it is a policy. We also have the Hyde Amendment. That's a law that says you can't use taxpayer funds to pay for abortions except in cases of rape, incest, or when the woman's life is in danger. The previous administration had categorized abortion as health care, and on the federal level, sought to expand abortion access after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. The current administration has reinstated previous directives enforcing the Hyde Amendment and has made sure that it's embedded into the federal policy and programs. The pro-abortion HHS website, the Health and Human Services website, reproductiverights.gov, has been shut down. It promoted access to abortion. The U.S. is also withdrawn from the World Health Organization, which is a pro-abortion organization and views abortion as health care, while the United States is no longer a part of that organization. There's been an executive order restoring biological truth, asserting that there are two sexes and that a person is male or female at the moment of conception, and reinforces the concept that we are born at conception. We are human, fully human at that point. There's also been an executive order against gender-affirming care, ending gender-affirming care, protecting children from chemical and surgical mutilation. There's been an ending to transgender indoctrination in K-12 schools, and we have re-signed the Geneva Declaration, which advocates policies and programs that support the family and parental rights, recognizes the dignity of human life, and asserts that there is no right to abortion. 40 nations are part of this declaration. We also have had 23 pro-lifers who were thrown into prison for praying at an abortion center. They have been given full pardons. And the HHS secretary nominee has been asked to investigate the safety of the abortion pill when he assumes office. So that's a wonderful thing for us, because the abortion pill is so dangerous, and we need the Health and Human Services Department to look at that safety again. Also, the administration has ended taxpayer-funded abortion travel for military service members and called for abortion to be prohibited at VA hospitals as well. They've also revoked the policy allowing for taxpayer-funded abortion expenses reimbursement for military personnel, and revoked paid leave for military traveling for abortion. And there's also been an executive order to eliminate anti-Christian bias in government departments. This will enforce the prosecution of anti-Christian vandalism and establish a task force to defend the rights of Christians. That's just 12 things that have been done in the last 3 weeks, and I'm sure there's going to be lots more coming.
Can we all have a collective whew? Because that's a lot.
Isn't this amazing?
It is incredible. Yeah, so
we'll keep track of that and add on to the wonderful things that are happening in pro-life.
Thank you so much, Susan, for all that update. And if you have questions about it, if you want some more information, please go to our website, prolifedallas.org. And there's ways that you can contact us through email. You can give us a call, and we can get you in touch with Susan. She can put you in all the right places to get more information, to stay in touch, to ask questions, and to see how you can participate in some of these things that are going on. Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome.
So we want to pivot a little bit, and we want to bring in Maria Michalski. And so those familiar with CPLC will know Maria as our director of Project Gabriel. And we're going to talk significantly about that and hear a little bit more of Maria's story. Joining Maria is her daughter, Sarah. Sarah Michalski actually works with me in the communications team. She does our social media. She does our email alerts. She does a lot of other video work for us, and is really a great right arm for the communications team. So we're glad to have them both with us. And before we kind of get more about your stories, we do also want to quickly mention another reason Maria is here is that she and her husband, Tim, have very graciously accepted the roles of honorary chairs for this year's Bishop's Pro-Life Dinner. And so we want to thank them publicly for stepping up and taking on those roles to help us with the dinner, which, by the way, I just want to do a quick plug for that. It's coming up on April the 5th, Saturday, April 5th. Invitations, I know I got mine in the mail this week, so I'm sure invitations will be hitting everybody's mailboxes pretty quickly. But it's at the Weston Park Central Dallas Hotel over on Merritt Drive near LBJ and 75. David B. Wright is our keynote speaker. We had him on the air a couple of months ago. He's a dynamic, motivational guy, the founder of 40 Days for Life. He'll bring an incredible message. Our theme is Better Together for Life, and it's an opportunity for us to come together and realize how we can be better together, working together, all with this one cause in mind. And as you've just heard from Susan, so many great things are happening and so many more great things will be done as we come together and work to save lives, to better lives, and to help out those women and children who are struggling to make their lives better. So we're thankful to Maria and to Tim for doing this. Maria, really quickly, I know you had a couple of things about the auction for the dinner mm-hmm. that you may want to quickly mention. And so that way, if people haven't bought their tickets, they can go online and get them right away and be a part. What are some of the auction items that we're working on?
So some of the live auction items that we are putting together is we have a week trip that's been donated by Dr. Bob and Brenda Morgan. They have a lake house on Cedar Creek, and they've graciously donated that to us for a week for 20 people. And then we have a trip to Rome, the year of the Jubilee. It's a 5-night stay for two in Rome with a tour of the Sistine Chapel and the Vatican Museums. Some of the silent auction items that we have are weekend getaways, family activities and events, some concerts, some special events with priests, and the Little Angels Catholic Store has graciously donated a beautiful nativity scene that was made by Joseph's studio by Roman.
Really so good things.
We have a lot more trips, but I don't want to mention them right now because they're still in the planning stages. But yes, I'm super excited about some of the things that we have this year. Very unique.
Yeah, we have a little less than two months before the dinner. And so next month, I'm sure we'll be very Bishop's Dinner intensive in terms of letting people know more about the auction items and things that are going to be going on specific to that evening. So let's talk, Maria, a little bit about your involvement with Project Gabriel. But even before that, give us a little bit of your history and your pro-life history and what it is that really kind of has motivated you and brought you into this world of pro-life.
So I had started pro-life actually when I was trying to conceive my son. It took my husband and I several years to have him, and we call him our Immaculate Conception because we don't know how he got here. It was through a lot of effort on our part. But soon after we had him, well, it was 8 years actually, after him, we wanted to have more children, and we weren't able to do that. So we looked into adoption. And that's when I came across a woman who lived in a neighborhood that I did, and she told me about a class that was being held at a hospital about adoption, various forms of adoption, whether it's foreign, domestic, you know, CPS related. And that's how we came to adopt our daughters. We adopted them from birth from a lawyer who dealt in adoptions in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it was through that experience that I decided that I promised myself that I would do something to honor their mother for this sacrifice that she made. And it is a sacrifice. It is a very hard decision as a woman to realize that you cannot raise a child for whatever reason, but you have enough love for them to know that placing them up for adoption is truly a gift. And it is a gift to my husband and I. A lot of people in the past would say to me, oh, it's so great that you chose to adopt your daughters. And I always looked at it as, no, it's not me that should be, you know, congratulated and looked upon as doing something great. It's that mother who made that sacrifice, and she chose my husband and I to be their parents. And I've always felt so grateful. And, you know, anyone that knew me around the time that I adopted them, I was not one to stay home. I took them everywhere. And people would say that to me, and I would just start bawling because they just didn't understand what she went through. I always thought about what she went through. And like I said, the sacrifice that she made and the gift that they are to us and our family. And so it wasn't until the girls were maybe in elementary school that I decided at that point I was able to put forth some time and really being truly living a pro-life life. And I decided to be a Gabriel Angel. And that was through CPLC. I went through the training and I walked along with a mom in need for several moms, actually, for several years. And then I was asked to be a coach to a mom. And that was a paid position at CPLC, a part-time position. And I agreed to do it. I have some, I have a degree in accounting. And then I, you know, became the GEMS coordinator. And then obviously, I'm currently the director of Project Gabriel. So that's pretty much my story. And I do have a passion for it, obviously, because I have some experience behind my belt. And yeah, so I love what I do. I definitely see a need for women to step up and be a mentor or an angel to a mom. And we do have the opportunity for you all to consider doing that. We have a training on this coming Wednesday in our office for those of you that speak English and are interested in possibly mentoring a mom. It's from 9 to 2 in our office, and we're located on Preston Road in Dallas. And if you're English speaking or bilingual and would like to be an angel, there is an angel training in Spanish on February 19th from 9 to 2 as well in our office. And you can contact us via our website, or I am happy to give out my phone number. It's 972-835-9469. And if you'll just contact me, I'll be glad to sign you up for the class. You're under no obligation to be an angel. This is, you know, if you just want to come find out what we're about and how you can help. If an angel is not for you, then we have other things that you can do to help us in helping these moms and their kids.
There's always a way to help.
There's always a way.
Sarah, I want to talk to you a little bit about you know, this is a great story that your mom just said. For you as an adopted child and seeing this growing up, how has that influenced you to make your life one where it's you know, it's a pro-life, you have a pro-life vision in your life? And before you answer that question, I just want people to know Sarah is one of the brightest lights I've ever met in my life. She always has a great positive attitude. And I give thanks to Maria because she's raised a wonderful young lady who just has this glow about her who really makes an effort to let people know about positive things in that are going on, and she brings that in into her work every day. And so you have a great story, Sarah, and so how has growing up in this world with this kind of influence really affected you?
Well, thank you, Frank. I think there is a lot of misunderstanding with that comes with adoption, and I think my mom really highlighted our story well. My mom and dad actually got to be involved with my birth mom when she was given basically like scrapbooks of different families to help select what family. So the mother was involved with where her child was going to be placed. There's a lot of misunderstanding that children that are put up for adoption will be in the foster care system. My twin sister and I actually, praise God, were adopted together at birth. And so it was great having that biological sibling with me growing up as well. And we were, thanks to adoption, placed with obviously in a very stable home. I had two parents that were together, a great brother as well that we grew up with. And I know that I was blessed with opportunities, like different vacations, living in a good area and a good school system that I may have not otherwise been blessed with, if not for the gift of adoption. But additionally, when I was 16 years old, I did get to meet some of my biological siblings as well. So really, it's really shown me that love runs thicker than blood. You know, you can never have enough people in your life loving on you. And so it really has been such a blessing for both my sister and I.
And something that you kind of had touched on as far as the misconceptions that people have, whether it's about adoption. One of the things I know you do in your role with us is utilizing social media to really tell the truth about all of the lies or all the misconceptions that are out there, whether it's about abortion, whether it's about the healthcare or whatever the thing is. And that's one of the things I'm very, very, that I've noticed about what you do, as far as you use a lot of resources to bring to light a lot of these a lot of the misinformation that's out there.
Yeah, so with organizations, unfortunately, like Planned Parenthood, everyone is aware of what services Planned Parenthood provides. Unfortunately, it does not feel like it's the same for pregnancy resources and pro-life organizations. So with my job, I'm hopefully being able to provide awareness in our community and beyond that there are other options out there besides abortion, and really utilizing social media where young women that either are considering abortion or are needing that healing from an abortion experience, that there are other options out there for them. And last year for the March for Life, we did a little bit of a campaign on why I march, and I shared for every one adoption referral at Planned Parenthood, there's 207 abortions. So it really, adoption is, we have a great organization in here in Dallas, Catholic Charities. They work with a lot of adoption cases. And so, yes, through my work with the CPLC, I hope to bring awareness that of these other options that are available.
And Maria, one last thing. As being a parent, an adoptive parent, how has that really kind of influenced you when you're working with these moms who are unsure of what they want to do with their children? What kind of perspective can you bring to them?
I share with them my story, and I tell them, you know, a lot of these moms selfishly say, well, I don't want someone else raising my child. And of course, when I adopted the girls, it was a semi-open adoption. So today it's different. You, as a parent that may be choosing to have an open adoption, or a woman who's placing a child for adoption, has the option of an open adoption. And what that means is you are communicating and have a relationship with that child. Obviously, you may not be their mother, but you have a relationship with the family that's adopting them, and you will not be going through life questioning, where are they, what are they doing, how are they doing? Because you will be communicating with them to some degree, you know, whether it be holidays or special occasions, or it just depends on the relationship that the adoptive family has with the adoptive or the mom. So, but yeah, that is, you know, not the case today like it was years ago where nobody knew anything.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that because of how things are a little bit different now, do you think that scares women away from wanting to do it more, or because they feel like they don't have the control, or feel like they're just giving up too much, and how do you address that with some of these women that come to you?
Honestly, I don't think most of the girls that I deal with really think about the level of responsibility, whether it's emotional, financial, spiritual, that they're taking on when they think about being a mom. And that's, you know, where we come in and start asking them some questions that maybe they didn't think about. And especially if they have more than one child and they're struggling at this point, you know, how's it going to be different with another one? It's a tough decision. It's a tough decision. And we never force these girls to make decisions that they don't want to make.
Sarah?
Yes, and I wanted to add that really in our story, my sister and I, obviously working online and on social media, you know, it can be a really, I see the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I see every excuse in the book as to why not to choose adoption, but my birth mom had every excuse in the book herself. I mean, not finding out that you want to give a baby up for adoption, then finding out it's twins. She was not in custody of two children she already had. It ended up being a high-risk pregnancy with my sister and I being born early because of placenta previa for her. So all these excuses that we hear women say that might justify abortion over adoption, my birth mom had every one of those excuses thrown her way, and she still chose life for my sister and I. So that definitely really drives me to want to be able to provide that same option for other women.
Thanks, Sarah. Thank you, Maria. And again, if anybody's interested in becoming a Gabriel Angel, the training is next week, but please call Pro-Life Dallas.
This week.
Oh, I'm sorry, this week. The English one is this week.
Yes.
Spanish is next week.
Right.
But go to prolifedallas.org.
/become an angel.
There you go.
prolifedallas.org/become an angel.
For all the details on that, and or prolifedallas.org/dinner for more details on the Bishop's Pro-Life Dinner on April the 5th.
All right, very good. Very interesting segment. I had no idea. I'd seen y'all together, and I didn't realize there was an adoption story there. So thank you, Frank, for bringing that story, and thank you, Maria,
yes,
and Sarah as well. And Susan Platt, I know she kind of hangs around. She might be still with us. Thank you, Susan, for your legislative update and all that very, very fascinating information that she shared about what's happened the last 3 weeks since this new administration took over. That's going to do it for the Good News Show. Don't forget, as I mentioned before, 5 o'clock this afternoon, Cicel and I are going to come on and just kind of break into programming a few times and give you an opportunity to get some car raffle tickets with lots of incentives. In fact, we got a couple of tickets to the Catholic Foundation event on February 22nd, honoring Hank Herman. Those are $350 tickets. We have two of them to give away tonight during the 5 o'clock hour. So stay tuned and listen for that. Otherwise, we'll see you next Monday for the next Good News Show. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show. KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth.